It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, presented by your local Hyundai dealers. This is Chicago's number one and most listened to sports station. 670 The Score is Chicago Sports. Chicago Sports is The Score. WSCR and HD Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. Always live on the free Odyssey app.
The Score!
Special edition of Score Overnights as we remember our dear friend and colleague Les Grobstein. Host Mark Grody is live from now until 5 a.m. talking all things Grobber with some of Les's favorite people.
We are here talking Les Grobstein. Can there be anything better? I mean, really, I love talking Chicago sports, love talking Bears and Bulls, Blackhawks, White Sox, Cubs. But you know what it's all encompassed by is Les Grobstein, because he was, however you want to refer to Les at this point, he was Chicago sports. Yes, indeed. And we do welcome you in officially to this Les Grobstein Memorial Show, tribute show. We lost Les a year ago last night. Now that it's 12:01 and we want to maintain Grobber time, nobody spoke overnight better than Les. As in, he didn't even think about it. When midnight hit, it was the next day. And while I'm sitting here having to think about what day, Tuesday, Les knew the language. He spoke the language, and he probably would have been talking in a cadence something like that. Once it's 12 o'clock, it means it's the next day. It's Tuesday. It's not yesterday. It's not 12. It's today. It's Tuesday. So that's where we land, folks. It is a Tuesday, and I get to be here with you until 5 o'clock this morning. And man, do we have a lot. We have a lot. And on the TV screen, I'm just catching the some more of the post game of the Dallas Tampa Bay game tonight. I watched it, and Dallas beating Tampa Bay 31-14. And just before I came on the air, I thought about Les. This would have been a very complicated game for Les. I don't know which side he would have been on here. He hates the Cowboys, just hates Dallas. Just, you know, he hated legacy teams. For some reason, other than in Chicago, he kind of, like, when you think about it, and this is a fairly new revelation of mine, maybe even tonight, just trying to figure out where Les would land on Dallas and Tampa Bay, Les Grobstein kind of resented greatness. Kind of resented greatness if it didn't involve one of his teams. You know, hates winning franchise, hates LeBron James, hates all good. So tonight, to get it back down to narrow here, Dallas is Dallas. He hates the Cowboys, right? There's no reason that Les would like the Cowboys. But there's also no reason whatsoever that Les would like Tom Brady. So, hey, the goat, more like the sheep, you know? That he would not have wanted to hear goat talk. As a matter of fact, he may have given two or three reasons why Jim McMahon was better than Tom Brady at some point in time. You know, like that could have happened. So last night would have been a very complicated game for Les, and I don't know exactly how he would have spoken about it. So yeah, that's where I am with Les at this moment. See, it's moment to moment with me. I'm still trying to figure out Les Grobstein, and I try to think along with him. What would Les think about it? And I think he would have had a lot of hate for a lot of things that went on.
Oh, hell yeah.
In the game last night. That's the way Les would have taken it in. On this Grobber Memorial Show, tonight. Here is the list of live guests that we will have tonight. And hopefully we will hear from you as well, you, the Grobber fan, the Score fan, the listener. At 12:10, just in about 5 minutes from right now, we will have Scott Grobstein on the show. Scott is Les's son. He is a fellow Illinois State alum like myself. I am very fortunate to have gotten to know Scott, you know, beyond a text message to the Score text machine. I've gotten to know Scott, and he has helped me to understand his father better. And sometimes I think that Scott still tries to figure out his father. So we'll share hopefully a laugh or two with Scott in just a little bit, about 5 minutes from right now. And then after Scott, probably right around 12:30, we're going to have his longtime girlfriend, Kathy, on. If you are a listener to The Score, if you have any interest in Les at all, you know all about Kathy because he spoke so fondly of her, always talked about what he was going to be doing with her, vacations. I met Kathy probably a handful of times before Les's death, and always great. Always great. I was like, why is this person so normal? Wow. This is not necessarily what I would have expected. Running into Les and Kathy with my then girlfriend Kim at the United Center at a Lady Gaga concert, which was just spectacular. I wouldn't have wanted life any other way that night to run into Les and his girlfriend Kathy with my girlfriend, and just she gets a load of Les. Oh, she got it all. And and she was like, so where does he come from again? I think that was the quoted question from Kim. So that's what we have coming up here shortly. 1 o'clock this morning, I'm looking very forward to this, we will have on John Greenberg of The Athletic. If you know John, you know how enthusiastic he has been about Les, and since he's been listening to Chicago radio, or since he's been in Chicago. And then we'll get the origins from Greenberg, exactly when he started listening to Grobber and why and what kept him there, because he has written a lot about Les. And as a matter of fact, if you go on theathletic.com right now, John Greenberg has an article up, a survey up about Bum of the Year. That's what John and I are going to talk about. We are attempting to do Bum of the Year justice tonight, and the candidates that are up. And I retweeted John, so it's on my Twitter page at Mark Rohde Sports, or John Greenberg's John_Greenberg. But I'll just quickly give you the Bum of the Year candidates right now, and we'll definitely need your calls too, of course. Tony La Russa, Jerry Reinsdorf, Tom Ricketts, Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers, a crescendo of Grobber anger there going through those names. And then, you know, fill in the blank. Hey, we're doing the best we can with these candidates. So that's what we came up with for that. At 2 o'clock.
NFL News, Urban Meyer, what a piece of crap.
We have so many soundbites. You know, I think that was just, there's a timer that's going to go off in our downtown Chicago studios where Sean Sears is executively producing this show. He's not even pressing buttons. He's just got a timer set up that no matter what's going on, I could be mid-sentence and there'll be a Grobber drop, because somehow, some way, we have to attempt to get through all of those. And, you know, I'm not positive that we will. So that's good. Good to point that out. Sean Sears in our downtown Chicago studios, along with Alex Kuhn helping out. I admit that I am remote, as I am in my home doing the show. This is where I did so many of those Grobber shows when I filled in last year after we lost Les, and I was doing about three times a week. So I feel like very comfortable right here. It's perfect that it is Sean producing, because he was the guy that produced a little bit with Les and then with all of my shows and got to know Sean. So it's a little bit of a reunion for us here tonight as well. At 2 o'clock this morning, Mark Potash of the Chicago Sun-Times covers the Bears with me at Hallis Hall. But what Potsy is just a true appreciator of sports talk radio. I know he doesn't like all of it, but He just loves sports, man. He loves sports, and I think he recognizes the companion that radio is, like a lot of us do. It's one of those things, like if you're a radio person, if you're a true radio person, like you get the intimate relationship that exists with it, and you need it. You need it. There's no other way to put it, which is something, too, that I understand, you know, that a lot of people needed less, and still today. I mean, I saw the complaints on Twitter today when I was posting stuff. There's always people, and I appreciate you guys. I got no problem with it. People saying it's not the same and that they don't want to hear national radio and they don't want to hear recorded interviews. Les was that just kind of tells you how unique and special Les was, that he was able to pull something off like that, that he was able to do 5 days a week, sometimes 6 days a week, sometimes more than 5 hours in a show. It's pretty hard to find that person. It's pretty hard to find that person. So while I do appreciate it all, it just makes less all that more spectacular and kind of like we truly didn't know what we had when we had less doing those overnights, because man, to pull that off 5 days a week, like I'm good for a few nights a week, you know, I guess I was good for a few nights a week, and I should be fine tonight getting through 5 hours of pretty much unscripted radio. But no, I'm probably not built to do this 5 days a week. I don't think any of us really are. And Les was, and it was a worthwhile resource when Les Grobstein was doing it. So Mark Potash at 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, my guy, Mark Carmen from CHGO. He goes about as far back with Les as I do. And the Carm just has some really good stories. I always get it mixed up, and I should know the story by now, but it's Carmen was helped Les move, I think. I'll just leave it at that. Do you need any more than that if you know Les?
That is incredible. I am so excited for that.
What more, Sean?
Oh my God. Can you imagine like he probably had enough of those like game day programs to build furniture out of, like can you imagine that?
Oh man. Well, yeah. So, and there's a good story attached to it with Mark Carmen, and Carmen is a night owl. Like, I don't understand his sleep schedule. I'm good friends with Carm, so that's why I know minutia about his life. Like he has a weird sleep schedule, and when I was doing those overnights, it'd be like 2:30 in the morning. Yeah. Oh, there's a Carm text, and that's just the beauty of Carm. And so Carm will come out with us at 3 o'clock, and he could stay on as long as he wants. And then at 4 o'clock, fun's over. Yeah, the boss wants to come on. No, I'm kidding. Mitch Rosen, program director here at the Score. Obviously the person who hired, I think he hired Les. I was going to say, did he hire Les twice? Yeah, I think he did. We'll ask Les, or we'll ask Mitch about how Grobber Score was born. Grobber Score was born, though, actually on Belmont, and that does predate Mitch's time with the Score. I think it was, probably was Ron Gleason who actually initially hired Les. And then I think it was Drew Hayes. Drew Hayes who ended up getting rid of Les. And then he went to down the dial to 1,000, I think with Mitch, I want to say. And then something happened where that job no longer existed. And then Mitch had him back at the Score or something like that. I may have just totally botched that. So those are questions. I'm putting this down here right now. Questions for Mitch. You know, I got to ask the boss good questions. So we're going to put that one down for Mitch. Also, so that's the guest list. Scott Grobstein here in moments, just waiting for word from Sean on that. With Kathy, John Greenberg, Mark Potash, Mark Carmen, Mitch Rosen, and I am told that the one and only Scott Grobstein, son of a Les, is joining us right now.
What'd you call me? What's up, buddy?
Son of a Les. I saw you the last time I've seen you a couple times recently.
Oh, yeah. Now,
yeah, I got to see you at the Northwestern game. That was, yes, the Northwestern DePaul game, which we'll talk about here in a second. And then sure. I saw you at a Bears game. I think,
yep.
Didn't like McCaskey hook you up with a Okay, give us the run. Yeah, give us the rundown on the Bears game first, and then we'll talk about the DePaul experiences too, and we'll talk Grobber here, man. I always got so many questions for you. So let's start with those two kind of cool sporting events that I just kind of happened to see you at.
Yeah, you know, this is, first of all, of course, thanks for having me on. This is an absolute honor to be doing this. We, unfortunately, had to do this a year ago today. The fortunate part was I got to know you and you know, everybody over there. Mitch has been unbelievable, and people like George McCaskey, and you know, I heard from Pat Fitzgerald this summer from Northwestern, and you know, they called me up to be a part of the Northwestern DePaul game. The people who have reached out, I mean, I'm just the kid. I'm not the legend. I'm just the 43-year-old guy who has my own, you know, world that I take care of, but the people who have reached out and you know, offered me the experiences to be a part of things. And so, yeah, I was at the Bears-Miami game, and I think that was probably the first – well, when I saw you, you called it, man. You're like, this is going to be the last nice weather game there is. I want to say it was in the mid-60s, and it was I think we all know it went downhill from there. But just a great experience being out there, and I think that was the first time I realized that boy, Justin Fields is pretty fun, man. That was the game when we were all like, oh my gosh, that guy's running like crazy, but holy cow, he cannot do that for a sustained career. So that was our hypothesis of the game. But a lot of fun that day. I was able to take my oldest to that one and a couple buddies and just enjoy it. The Northwestern DePaul game was truly special because I know my father was heavily connected to both schools for decades, and they called me and asked me to you know, help present the player of the game award that he always presented, whether it was at DePaul or Northwestern. Obviously this year it happened to be in Evanston, and I was able to bring my little guy for that, because for me, that's what I want to do. I want to pass, you know, as much knowledge and experience that I've learned about sports from my father down to my kids. And so to have my little guy at that game, who is very much my sports kid, you've met Mr. Nicholas. He's deep in the game, man. He loved it, and they let him go on the court with me afterwards. And Chase Audige from Northwestern, the player of the game, was just unbelievable, letting Nicholas hold the plaque. And such a cool experience. So, yeah, I mean, that's just like the tip of the iceberg, but so much fun.
You know, you're talking about your son Nicholas, Mr. Nicholas, who I met at Grobber's funeral, his services. And
sure.
You know, when I first met you, I was like, yeah, Scott doesn't really seem like that. He doesn't seem like Les. And, you know, Les is, you know, that's not a,
yeah.
You know,
nope.
He, you know what I mean? Like,
I do.
All right.
Yes.
I'm like,
thank
okay.
You.
He's, yeah. He's normal. I'm stuttering here because I wanted to say,
yeah.
Scott seems pretty normal.
Yeah, there were some socially interesting moments with my father, but we all know that.
Yeah,
it's funny. Not to get it too serious and emotional for a minute, but you know, one thing that my father definitely did this weekend. We'll definitely jump back into sports, but
yeah,
I was going to not mention this, but it's been a very interesting weekend for my family. My oldest, Ben, I just mentioned him. He's fine. I want to preface that he's absolutely okay, but he was in a pretty bad car accident Saturday night on his way home from work, in which the car was, the details I'll try to evade, but the car was totaled. He's miraculously okay without a scratch, and I immediately, of course, went to thank you up above for protecting him. So not to bring it all, you know, emoke that quick. I know I just totally made that a downer, but that's kind of been, that's been on the mind all weekend, just how my oldest was able to walk away with nothing. And obviously I thank God for that and thank my father and all the miracles that happened. So just wanted to get that out of the way. The power of, if y'all out there don't believe in, prayer and guardian angels and all that, man, I learned it this weekend firsthand. So,
well, thanks for sharing
that.
Man.
That. Yeah.
Oh, mm-hmm. no, man. Scott, thanks for being vulnerable and sharing that with me and our audience. I mean, that means a lot. And I don't have kids, but like, yeah. I felt that for, like, I was imagining, like, maybe one of my nieces or nephews, and they get into it, a call, what? And your kid walks away. I mean, it would definitely give a new appreciation for something, something more important than ourselves, you know?
Yeah. And I think, you know, the fact that he called me and said, you know, it's that dreaded phone call a parent doesn't want to get, but hey, Dad, I was in an accident. I think my car is totaled. I'm like, I don't care about the car.
Are
you? Of course. Immediately, the car's a car. I don't care. Got there, and it was rough, real rough. Just the car was in rough shape. And as soon as I got there, they were like, he's fine. He walked over to the ambulance himself. He's totally fine, totally alert. And I'm like, yeah, someone had something to do with that big time.
Oh,
so,
God. Well, yeah. God bless Ben and you, man. And we'll keep the prayer. And it's good. No, I think that's good for everybody to hear, everybody listening and understanding, you know, what's going on out there. So really appreciate you telling us that. And as for Mr. Nicholas, though, when I saw him, you know, I sized you up. And I was like, okay. And then I saw and Ben, for that matter. And then I saw Nicholas. And I was like, oh, my God. There he is. He's the heir apparent. He looks a little like him. He was a little bit misbehaved.
Yeah, you know, he
was a little feisty. Yeah, I don't know if misbehaved is right.
I got you, yeah.
You know, pushed the ball. I was like, okay, I think we got something. And now you tell me that he is the sports fan. So I think I got a good eye for grabber talent.
Oh, yeah. He, we will play, you know, indoor football. He will, every morning he will ask me, you know, who won the TCU Ohio State game? I'm like, you don't want to know. But, you know, that was the title game. But he'll that'll be his first words in the morning when I kiss him goodbye on my way to work, is who won the Bulls? Oh, man, DeMar DeRozan. You know, I'm like, it's happening. It's happening.
Yeah.
So it's my mini-me. But obviously I have, you know, they're my two boys, and I have uber strong connection. I mean, you tell people with kids, I always use the phrase, you'll never love anything more. And there's nothing more you can say about it than that. It's they're both unbelievable, both very different, but I try to, you know, pass down what I've learned and the experiences that I've learned from my father down to them. And they get some laughs. They get it. They get how they're, you know, how he was, and they've met him, and they knew, oh boy, you know.
What was that like, though? Like, was he just, and I know your relationship with him probably wasn't all perfect, but what was less thought of, like, when he come over for family events? Was there preparation involved? Like, what was it like when Grandpa Les was coming to the house?
Yeah, and that's what we refer to him as, Grandpa Les. He was like a little paparazzi. He had to take pictures of everything and everybody. And man, anytime, you know, Ben's a performer for plays and musicals, he'd come out there and it would be first thing, hey, Ben, good job. Hey, got to get a picture. And, you know, you could see the friendly eye roll, like, okay, you know, and you knew it was going to be 10 takes because the camera wasn't right, you know. So that was kind of what they, and they knew that they'd come up with a Home Alone bobblehead or a random gift from a Bears game. And, you know, I had to explain to them that this is him, you know, showing his feelings towards you and him expressing what he can towards you. And it's all meant with, obviously, goodness and kindness. And, you know, I think the boys got it. They struggled when it happened a year ago, but they struggled because they saw me going through a lot of stuff. And of course, Nicholas, the morning I went out with David Haw, literally next morning, goes, Daddy, can we play Legos? I'm like, well, no, I got to go to, you know, on the air and you do this. And are you doing more Grandpa Les stuff? You know, so try explaining that to a 9-year-old, but it was, it's been all good stuff. We went through, we have my little baseball sports nook in my basement where I'm at right now. And of course we've got the bobblehead and everything down there, and we'll randomly push the button and be like, hey, Grandpa Les can announce the game. And so they, you know, Nicholas gets a part of it, and Ben just kind of, you know, he gets, he's older. So he understood the relationship a little bit more than obviously the little guy. So interesting stuff.
Yeah, no, it is. It all makes a lot of sense. You mentioned like the the awkward interactions that might occur having Les as your father or the kids having as a grand. Do you have any examples of that, any stories that you might be able to share with Score Overnight about those moments?
Well, I've told you the infamous no mayo story.
Yes,
I can rehash that a little bit because I still get it's still quoted here. When we'd go to a, went out for lunch, that was our usual custom to meet once a month. He and I would talk about sports, and there were two incidents. There was he demanded no mayo on a sandwich, but went on a tirade to the poor lady behind the counter and said, no mayo. If I get it, I'll get sick. I'm not eating it. I'm not taking it. You know, I'm not going to touch it. You do it so much better, man. I can't.
That actually sounded really good. You're cracking me up, man. That sounded great.
Yeah, and I would just find myself kind of, like I said, like, you know, the Homer Simpson meme where he just cringes back into the bushes. That's kind of what I was doing. I'm like, oh my gosh, what are we doing here? What are we doing? She's got it. She understood that. No mayo. I don't like condiments either, so I get it. I just try not to be aggressive when I order my food. And this poor lady, same restaurant. Like, I can't believe they didn't kick us out. But there was TVs on SportsCenter. They were talking about Tim Tebow. And for whatever reason, my father was a big hater on Tebow. He wanted all the shenanigans and all the stuff he did out of football. I had no problem with it personally.
Your dad. I've just made this discovery tonight. Just think, he resented greatness that was outside the city of Chicago.
Oh, really?
No, he just kind of did. I'm saying he didn't seem to like the great athletes and the great like franchises. Like
he was a homer.
He seemed to resent those. Like, of course, he was a homer, but it went even further than that. Not only did he despise like other teams or want to beat them, he seemed to resent those. But I just had to barge in with that, man. I'm sorry.
No. I got a Dallas story too for you. I figured that out. I was listening to the opening. I'm like, I got one. Okay, but I'll bring that to you in a second. But yeah, this older lady, you know, working there, she had to be in her 60s. She's like, oh, he's such a nice young man, that Tim Tebow, you know, very friendly. And you want to talk about a powder keg going off. He's awful. He's ridiculous. He sucks. Keep him out of debt. I'm like, what are you doing to this lady? And she's like, oh, he's not that bad. And I had to, of course, apologize to the poor lady. I'm like, I'm sorry. I don't mind Tim Tebow. I'm sorry he did that. I think he went to the washroom or something like that.
So we had
those moments. Yeah, I was like, why him? And there's so many other players. Charles Martin, I get it. Totally get it. Tim Tebow, really? He's not that bad. So I don't know.
He didn't throw any Bears quarterbacks on their ass.
No, he didn't. He prayed and did the thing and whatever. But I was thinking about the Dallas stuff, and you're absolutely right, man. He would hate on Brady and not Belichick. They can, all that.
I didn't even put that association together. The reason it's not just because Tom Brady's great. He's a cheater. Everybody knows he's a cheater. He's a deflator. He's a cheater. KMA. Yeah. That's what would come out of his mouth.
He's worse than a cheater. Yeah. I mean, he would always add that. He's worse than that.
Worse than a cheater.
Worse than a cheater.
It's worse than the farthest one can go with describing some extreme.
100%. Yes. So with Dallas, I remember, well, besides he'd bring up 44-0 in 85. Of course, he'd bring that up. That's an easy one. But in 1992, and this is where I get this from him, the vivid memory, when the Bears, so it was 91 season, the 92 playoffs, because obviously 92 did get fired, all that. But 91, they did go to the playoffs, and they played Dallas. I went to that game. I was probably seventh grade, and that was, the Aikman, Smith, and all that, and they whooped us pretty good here at Soldier Field. And I remember after the game, I had to wait for him to do all the interviews and all that stuff forever, which I didn't hate it as a kid, but that's there.
I never really thought about that kind of stuff.
Horrible. But now I think it would be cool. But I'm like, what did you do? Why did you have to ask him all those questions? And he goes, well, I had to ask him how they thought they were going into the Silver Dome and they were going to touch Detroit, and I knew they were going to get there, and I won't say the rest, but went off on a tangent on how Wayne Fonts' Lions were going to just kill the Cowboys.
Oh, man.
It was good times. Yeah.
I got to tell you, man, you have really stepped up your Les Grobstein impersonation. I mean, maybe it's always been there, but I don't know.
I learned from the best, man.
I'm talking to you, man. Did I ever tell you the time he dropped in on one of the tailgates that I was at when I was just at a Bears game as a fan?
Oh, gosh. I can only imagine. This
is like years ago, like early Urlacher days, I suppose.
Yeah.
I don't even know where I was working at the time, but I was, hell, I might have had a foot in the score. I don't remember. Anyway,
right.
I was in the parking lot tailgating with friends and family. Yeah. My brother, Brian, is a season ticket holder, and his wife, Priscilla, was there. And his wife, Priscilla, happens to be a Tennessee girl. And so she's got,
here we go.
So she's got this big Tennessee, we've got our Bears flag up, and we've got our Chicago flag probably, and Priscilla had to bring my Tennessee flag. So she had her Tennessee flag up. And I told Les, hey, man, you got to come out to our tailgate, brother. Come on. So he comes out because I wanted everybody to meet the great Les Grobstein, my friend who I work with and I know.
Right.
Like, you guys got to meet Les. He's hilarious. So Les comes out there, and there's me and my brother and Priscilla front row. And they're like, oh, it's Les Grobstein. And Les just looks at Priscilla and my brother and just goes, what's with the Tennessee flag?
Yep, I knew it. I knew it was going to be something about
that. What's with the Tennessee flag? Bruce Pearl is garbage.
Oh, gosh, there's another one. Bring him up. Holy cow.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think Bruce Pearl was coaching there at the time. So that was his – I think that's – as far as I know, that's the only link to Tennessee hate, unless you could tell me something different.
No, I think he would just do a general – all these yahoos down there, and, you know, he would talk about, you know, just a general –
right,
you know, assumption about the South. And, you know, my sister, she actually went to UK. She went to Kentucky, and I would tell, you know, every time I bring that up, he'd be like, yeah, that was racist. Blah, blah, blah. I'm like, oh, okay.
Take it down.
We'll end that conversation right there. Because I knew, like, you know, you could push some buttons as far as you can go, but then after a while, like, this is I've hit a wall, and it's not going to – it's no longer funny, so I'm just going to reroute my conversation with him. And
the thing about that, Scott, is maybe I should have done that a few times on the radio, but I never did reroute.
No, and that's what made it great.
Here
I love
we are.
It. Oh my gosh, the Super Bowl thing. We know that. Oh. We drop it. I think I told you this. I do remember hearing that, and I was like, oh my gosh, he's really pissed off. I got to call this guy. And I actually called him or something. I was like, what's going on? Why are you so upset? He's like, no, we're fine. I'm like, I don't know, man.
I know. It didn't sound fine to me.
Yeah, it sounded a little rough. And I know radio enough and know when things are a bit and when things are real, and you sounded triggered. So, he wouldn't know what triggered means, but, you know, it's fine.
Maybe that was part of his magic, because, you know, that same thing happened with me, like, with that, because I kind of was, I don't know if I necessarily wanted to apologize to him because it was rated, but I did want to make sure he was cool.
Right.
And he was like, yeah, we're fine. What? Like, he looked at me like nothing ever happened.
Yeah.
So,
short-term memory.
Beautiful.
I think part of that is, you know, obviously, you know, being in this business, you, I guess, kind of have to have clearly thick skin and short-term memory. And, you know, if you let everybody who doesn't like you or whatnot, you know, it's similar to teaching what I do for a career, but nothing as public as what you guys do. And I think, you know, if you have every, you know, hater coming at you and saying all the stuff and you let it get to you personally, even though we are human, you know, I think it makes for a pretty stressful career. And I just think either his mind wouldn't let him remember that because that wasn't a sports fact, or he just chose not to. He had tunnel vision, man, right? I mean, it was all sports. And if it was anything, you know, personal or human connected, it was there. I'm not saying he didn't care about human people, right?
Yeah.
But it was tunnel vision, and it was sports, and that's what made him the person he was. So that's meant as all good stuff. That's meant.
Yeah. It really is. And plus, you know, I'm no Larry Lujack anyway, so, you know.
Okay, so I found a tape going through some of his stuff the other day, and I found an original Animal Stories CD from Lujack and Tommy Edwards. And I'm like, hey, Ben, you got to let me explain who these guys were to you, and or were, you know, to him, and explaining it. And we happened to go somewhere, and I was, you know, we were in the car, and I popped this thing on. I'm like, humor me. Let me play this for you. And we're about 5 minutes in. He's like, this is the worst thing I've ever heard. You've got to be kidding me. This is awful. And I'm laughing because I think it's kind of funny, but he's just looking at me, shaking his head like, I'm trying, Dad, but this is terrible. Turn it off. So. Oh, these kids, man. These days, they don't get the early radio humor, I guess, from the 80s. But what are you going to do?
Hey, man, you're doing your best. You're doing your best. At least you're you're trying. And, you know, as they get older, like, older things get cool again, retro. Right. I mean, people were into albums again. So hopefully you just keep fighting through. You're a teacher. You're a natural teacher.
I'm struggling.
Man.
Thanks. I'm trying. Every day's a struggle, but I am trying. I got the little one. The little one's into sports.
So yes. Mr. Nicholas. Yeah, that's our guy.
Yeah.
Scott, I always appreciate having you on. I always tell you this, and I like to rehash the story that I, you know, when I do impersonations, unfortunately, I do have a conscience about it, as in, or conscious about it. Like sometimes, I don't know if I feel bad because I do it and I keep doing it, but you know what I mean? Like I think about, God, I hope their family member, you know, they must hate me. And then I remember you texting the score one day after I had done some grobber bit, and you're like, dude, that's hilarious. I'm Scott, you know, Scott Grobstein.
Yeah.
And I wasn't positive it was you, but I was pretty sure.
Right.
And I text back, and then sure enough, you're like, you just green lighted me, and you just kind of look at Les. Obviously, you know him a lot better than all of us do, but you kind of understand and appreciate the character that he was, and some things needed to be pointed out at times.
I do. And first of all, you do it, and it's hilarious. Like, I'm literally like crying, laughing, listening to you sometimes. So, yeah, you have my full full blessing. But
I appreciate
it in a way. Absolutely. I mean, I know what he meant to you and what you mean to him, and I guess I know the respect you guys had for each other, and you do it in a playful way. There has to be the humor. That's what made him who he was. He was a quirky dude. I mean, to say that he was completely normal and everything was to a T, no, but that's what made it fun, and that's what made it quirky, and you bring out the humor in it. And, you know, can some people go a little far with it sometimes? Yeah, but again, I have thick skin. I get it. I know it. There's no personal attacks, and I've heard them all. Trust me, I've heard all the comments in the coffee pot and the
stuff.
I've heard it all, man, and it's, you know, it is what it is. But you make it fun, and you just make it enjoyable, and you do it in a loving way. I mean, there's no other way to put it. So, yes, I keep on going, man. I love it.
Scott, thanks for coming on, and thanks for being so accessible. I mean, I know that you got to get up and teach tomorrow morning, so you are appreciated. Let's talk soon, all right, man?
Absolutely, buddy. Thanks, man. Keep in touch.
Yeah, you too. That is the great, the one and only Scott Grobstein, Les Grobstein's son. Les Grobstein is the guy that we are honoring tonight. If you don't know Les Grobstein, longtime legendary radio man in Chicago, and did a lot of years with the score, doing an overnight show from midnight to 5. That is why I, Mark Grody, am live midnight to 5. And later on, when we have some time, I will talk about why I appreciated Les so much, or actually it's kind of more of an origin story of why Les and I became at the score what we did, other than the fact that, you know, we were next to each other in the alphabet, Grobber Grody. So, you know, I was thinking about that, like, if we were in school together, I would have always sat next to Les. Like somehow he and I were meant to be, and I appreciate him so much, and that is why I'm like feel blessed that I get to do this show from midnight to 5. Coming up next, we are going to have live Kathy on the show. Kathy is Les's longtime girlfriend, knows him as well, obviously, as anybody. And we'll catch up with Kathy in just a little bit. I'm Mark Grody. This is Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score.
We're back with more Mark Grody on The Score Overnight Special, Remembering Les Grobstein.
That is what we're doing. A lot of great texts coming in here to The Score, 312-644-6767. 312, I was there. God bless you, Les. Deeply missed. God bless all of you guys at the Score. For his family, friends, and fans, peace and love. A lot of stuff like that. Grody, hopefully your building management won't come over again to see what this overnight ruckus is all about. West Loop Tom. Yeah, that's the hope, man. It's a one-off, though. It's the way I feel. I feel strong about this. And that did happen. But last year, I was doing an overnight from my place here, living in a high-rise, and got a knock on the door from security to keep it down. And I couldn't do that because I was on the radio. And then he was like, oh, okay, that's all right. Okay, that's cool. So, yeah, hopefully it won't happen. I think we're cool. I think the neighbor's cool. We're all good. Dave the Cat is in the house. He's in a box. Cats love to go in boxes. That's where Dave the Cat is right now. We got a lot of stuff coming up here on Score Overnight. And loving on Les. LOL. Loving on Les. Yeah. John Greenberg will join us at 1 o'clock. And I cannot wait to talk to John because we're doing the bum of the year. He's got a poll up on The Athletic right now. At this point, it's on both of our Twitters, John Greenberg's and mine. And I'm not going to give it away the where it is right now, but he just sent me the breakdown of where things stand between Tony La Russa, Jerry Reinsdorf, Tom Ricketts, Brett Favre, and Aaron Rodgers. And I can't wait to share that update with John. And if you guys want to call in during the 1 o'clock hour to give your entry for Bum of the Week, we certainly would be overjoyed. We would love that. 312-644-6767. Now we get a chance to talk to one of the people closest to Les Grobstein over the last decade plus, his longtime girlfriend, Kathy. And Kathy, thank you so much for coming on Score Overnight. What are you thinking about, and how are you feeling on this day, which has now actually turned into the next day?
Well, it's been interesting past year trying to do things on my own, but I do miss them terribly. A lot of great memories though, and it seems like sometimes I'm just like talking to him in the car, and it's one of those things. And then I feel like he's answered it, so. But it's been interesting.
Yeah,
the year did go by fast. It did go by fast.
God, didn't it? I mean,
it sure did.
Like when Mitch Rosen said, "Hey, can you do this Les Grobstein show on January 17th or whatever?" Mm-hmm. Today's the 15th, right? 16th. I should know the date. I was like, "Oh yeah, sure." But why? He's like, "That's the anniversary of his death." I'm like, "Oh my God!" Because, and I think that is because, I mean, people like that. Kathy, for you and for me and lots of people listening, Les was the type of guy who you never really thought would die because like that he would outlast all of us.
Just he kept because going nonstop.
He just kept going. He was nonstop, mm-hmm. Right?
That's right. Like, absolutely.
He must have been a ball, like going out on dates and hanging out with, because you know he's you know a lot older than me and you, and you know the guy had mm-hmm. probably more energy than both of us combined, right, Kathy?
Yeah, but very very little sleep. Very yeah. little sleep, and he kept going. Never said no to me.
That's unbelievable. I still try to figure that out, Kathy, and then maybe you have the answer. How did that man exist as productively as he did on so little sleep, and did he actually sleep?
Well, he slept, I would say, probably about 3 hours. And then during the time as he was sleeping, if anything was happening with sports or whatever, I would let him know right away when he got up, because I knew I timed it, and it was like 3 hours. It was not enough sleep, but that's how he worked.
Yeah. Yeah. He was able to function, right?
He was. And he took me to lunch every day and made sure of that. And from 12 to 1, and didn't really sleep well though.
Oh man, that's amazing. I didn't know you guys had lunches every day, 12 to 1.
Every day, yeah, Monday through Friday. Mm-hmm.
Well, what was did it go beyond Fuddruckers, or were there other places you take you to?
Yeah, like family restaurants.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I bet Les loved like just a good old fashioned Greek restaurant that's a diner type place, right? With like the seven or eight pages.
He loved diners. Yes.
Oh, I bet he did.
He took me to a bunch of them, and like even in Florida when we went on a trip, he would always try to find a diner.
Yeah.
That was Les.
Right. Right. Yeah. If you were on a trip at either Disney World or Hawaii, right? Wasn't that pretty much his favorite locations?
Right. Yes, yes. We were planning to go to Hawaii in this year, but that didn't happen. But
yeah.
So he loved Hawaii.
Yeah, no, I know he did. Kathy, is there any like stories or things about Les that stand out or that you want to or would share with our audience?
I could share some. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I would love that if you could do that. Thank you.
Yeah. This is interesting. So Les and I went to Tennessee in like 2004.
Okay.
And it was like my very first Bears football game against the Titans.
Uh-huh.
So that year, they did win. It was like 19-17, I believe, in overtime or something. But the funny story was that we had to get me a ticket. So he looked on the street and for someone who had a ticket and was able to get me one. So I didn't realize this, but when we went in, Les went into the press box and I went to sit at the seat that, you know, the ticket was whatever that number was.
Uh-huh.
I sat down and all around me was all the Titan fans. And I called Les on his cell phone and I'm like, seriously, you put me right near all the Titan fans and I have to root for this, you know, team.
Uh-huh.
And I was kind of like looking at my bag. I'm like, hope it doesn't say anything Chicago on there. I could not stop laughing. And I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe you put me there.
Oh, that's hilarious. That's hilarious. And,
yeah,
you know, if he had landed in that section, can you imagine that conversations that'd be going on?
Oh my God. He would have everybody talking and either arguing or something about, you know, the team. Yeah. So he, it was very interesting, but, we were able to meet a lot of nice people out there at the time and who we bought the ticket from and ended up, I'm still talking to him from this day. He's a really nice person and he loved Les. So,
yeah.
But anywhere we went, anywhere on travel, even out of the country, somebody would recognize him. And then you get him start talking and he wouldn't stop.
I know.
He loved it. He loved the attention. And I said, go for it. You know, I was right next to him and I supported him through that whole thing.
Yeah. So. Yeah. I mean, that's you're a good woman, Kathy. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, I stuck by. Yes. But he taught me a lot. And my first time going to spring training in Arizona, it was a lot of fun. I didn't know what to expect or anything. And I asked him, I says, hey, do you think you could teach me how to do like, I think it was the scorecard and how to fill it out.
Mm-hmm.
So he was trying, but I'm like, you know what? I don't think this is going to work out because I'm not understanding it. The way he was explaining it. And I'm like, I don't think I can do this. But in the meantime, you know, he's in the press box and I'm walking around and looking for someone to sign a ball or something. Like I had Sammy Sosa sign a ball for me. Now I have an amazing collection of signed autographs and I'm lucky because of Les. And one day I was sitting like one of the other game day. I don't remember what it was. I was sitting on a chair by myself and all of a sudden the door opens. Who comes through was Ron Santo.
Mm.
So I was able to get a picture with him.
Sick.
So I went and showed Les then. He's like, how did you do that? I go, I just sitting there and there he came out of that door, you know, so it was pretty nice.
That's incredible. Yeah. I mean, Grobber, he had a link to all those Cubs back in the day, man.
He did. Yeah. But another interesting story is I was doing a lot of thinking and when we were first starting to date and stuff and he went in his trunk, and he was taking out these cassettes. And as we were sitting in the car, he puts it in there, and I'm like, what is this? And it was a play-by-play. He wanted me to listen to his voice. And I go, oh, you must like hearing your voice. And he just kept putting it in so I can hear it, you know. And all I kept hearing is the excitement of the games that he was doing.
Yeah.
And I thought that was pretty nice.
That's pretty cool. I thought that story was going to go in a different direction, like it was some like beat up tape of him doing UIC Flames hockey with some guy named Scrubby McGriffins or something like that. But you know what I love about you, Kathy? You really, like you just said it, you learned a lot from Les and you appreciated it because you weren't a big sports fan before you met Les,
were
you?
Not at all. No, not really. No. But he turned me around a little bit and taught me a lot too. I asked a lot of questions, so he would teach me that, you know. But I always said, how do you know this stuff all by memory? It's amazing.
Right.
It's like an encyclopedia.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, that's been, that's probably the most persistent Les text through the years. I mean, Les, there's a lot of persistent texting to Les, and everybody, there's a lot of characters in his audience. But the one consistent thing is, how does, you're incredible, Les. How do you remember? My dad says that. My dad, who would listen to the overnights, he, you know, gets up into the middle of the night and will put the radio on and be like, God, how does this guy, how does he know all this stuff?
Right. He did. I mean, it was just amazing. Like, if we ever like went somewhere and there was like a contest of like answering some sports stuff, I would help have him help me fill it out to try win.
Sure. Yeah, why? So, of course.
Right. And he knew all the answer, and it was just like really cool, you know, in seconds. I mean, like he knew.
Well, here's the thing, Kathy. He knew the answer even if he didn't know the answer. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, right. You know, I know what you're saying. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Less than always give an answer. But no, I mean, that's sometimes the part that gets lost in Les, and I am responsible for it in part. But Les was a really good broadcaster, and his knowledge of sports was second to none. And that was, you know, we all have to have that base. Like, nobody gets into sports radio, especially if you're not a diehard. Like, you can't get away with, you know, not being pretty well versed in everything and having a natural love for sports. And that's what Les had, probably better than anybody.
Yes. I wanted to, because I heard you earlier, regarding that Lady Gaga concert that I had forced him to take me to. I wanted to talk to you about that. He didn't want anybody to know he was going to this. And it's when she first came out, isn't it right, Mark? Wasn't it when she first came out?
Yeah, well, I remember he didn't like her because, she's a fraud. Madonna is what it's all about here. So that's hilarious. So then the first person he sees is me and my girlfriend. Ah, great. Grody's here of all people.
Oh, my goodness. Like, I'm like, who is that? And he says, it's Mark. And I'm like, oh, you know him well? I'm like, I'm sorry that I forced you to take me to this. But it was funny. We didn't even know we were going to bump into someone. So
of course not. That was, yeah.
But everybody, everywhere I went, you know, somebody recognized them. So even restaurants and, you know, things like that. It was nice, though. But, I had another story.
Please.
Really quick. Yeah, one time, it was when the Chicago Wolves won the championship. Now, I don't remember how long ago this has been, but I remember they won in overtime. Les, I was looking from where I was sitting, and after the game was over, you know, Les has to get, you know, maybe one of the players, and he was on the ice or something, and he was going so fast walking with his recorder. And I can see him, and I'm like, oh, my God. When he needs to do something, he really runs to it.
Oh, yeah, man.
And, I couldn't believe it. Yeah.
Yeah, I could picture him, too, with that old tape recorder, the classic Les Grobstein tape recorder over his shoulder.
Oh, yeah, he had that with him all the time, and he kept showing it to me often. So I was like, that's nice. So I kind of like know what it really looks like.
Oh, that's hilarious. Was he trying to impress you? Check out my cassette player. You know.
Well, besides doing the play-by-play of his voice, of course.
Of course. Hey, we in radio, we got to pull out whatever tricks we can possibly come up with. You know what I mean?
Right. I know. I also had an interesting where Les introduced me to, I went to this like WLS rewind party. And I got to meet, like, Larry Lujack, Tommy Edwards, Katherine Johns, I believe it was.
Yeah.
And I was, like, I was young at the time. I was in high school, and on the bus I would always hear, like, their voices talking on the radio. And I got a chance to meet them. And I was like, oh, my goodness, like, wow. I was really lucky. I was happy.
That's very cool.
Like, I got to meet them, you know, from the name to the face, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then I asked Les one time, is it possible that you can probably introduce me to Eddie and Jobo one day? Well, he made that happen. He
of
made
course.
That happen.
One
I
call.
I was like, are you, pardon me?
I said, all you have to do is make one call, probably.
Yes. We were at a game somewhere, and they were there. So I was like, well, thank you for finally letting me meet them. And it was so really cool. Nice.
That's so cool. So, no, that's awesome. I love all those stories. And the best part about them is like they all add up. Like we all got a pretty good idea of who Les was. And we're fortunate that he put it all out there for us, because most of us don't allow every part of us to be vulnerable. Mm-hmm. and Les did, didn't he?
Right. Yes. Oh, yeah. You know, anytime I'm missing his voice or something,
yeah,
I go to YouTube and I listen,
great.
And I watch him, and I start smiling like, wow. Yeah. Sometimes I need to hear that, you know?
What a great thing. I didn't really think of it that way. When you know somebody
who's... Yeah, I do that from time to time, yeah.
That's awesome. That's a way to like, feel his presence.
That's what I do, right. I mean, it makes me feel like he's still there. So, yeah.
Yeah.
I was going to say to the fans and stuff that reached out to me, and everyone who... They have been great, and they've been telling me stories how they used to listen to him, but they miss him a lot. And but I have memories that last me a lifetime, and you know, I'm really happy about that. I wanted to thank Mitch Rosen for all his support for the last year, and I wanted to add that too. Mm-hmm. And thank you for also having me on tonight.
Yeah, absolutely, Kathy. Thank you for coming on. I mean, it's got to be an emotional day, and I know from talking to you in the past how much he meant to you, and you just reminded us again over the last 20 minutes or so. So, you know, we're going to have Mitch on at 4 o'clock, and I'll make sure that he gets that message, and everybody listening to Score Overnight right now, they're loving on Les on the text line, and they're hearing your voice, too, and it means a lot to all of us for you coming on tonight, Kathy. Thank you so much.
I know I have a lot of people listening in tonight, so thank
good.
You.
Good. All right. Well,
22
Kathy,
years, so long time.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, man. That's incredible. Well, you're a strong woman. You're a wonderful woman, and I'm glad that I know you.
I'm glad I know you, too. Thank you so much, Mark.
All right. Bye, Kathy.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Yep. That is Kathy's, Les's longtime girlfriend, Kathy, and you can tell in her voice, you could hear it. I mean, the mix of sadness and happiness, you know, sadness because of this day, but then the happiness because we're talking about him and we're sharing fun stories, and that's what it's all about. And there's some real stuff involved too, but you know, this is the time that we get to remember and have fun and talk about how unique the guy was. And we do have to take a break here. I was going to go into something else, and then I looked up at the clock, and it says 1 o'clock. It is the next hour, and we got to take a break when we come back. All right, we'll have an update on the Bum of the Year voting that is going on online via The Athletic, via John Greenberg, via Mark Grody. You could find it in any of those three places. And John Greenberg will join us next here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.